Lovely. Thank you, Christine. And shalom, everyone. And welcome to another session of Saffron Planet. this evening, we are continuing with our theme that we've been with since the beginning of the year, which is now, I suppose, almost, well, it was just over 8 months. So we're our theme since the beginning of the year, the cry of our hearts was, Lord, teach us to pray. We had that sense that was, well, I certainly had that sense of what the Lord was calling us towards, is into prayer and deeper prayer. And we also had the phrase from Matthew's gospel, and also mentioned in Isaiah, I believe, my house shall be a house of prayer. And the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the book with the same title, My House Shall Be a House of Prayer, which is by Lance Lambert, which I don't know if you can see that, but that's the one we've been looking at. We've been looking at two particular things in that. So in Timothy, there's four kinds of prayers that are mentioned, and we've been looking at two of them, supplications and intercessions. And because we're in learning mode, it's very easy for us just to cover something 1 week and then move on to something else the next week. And I just felt this evening it's because of the last two sessions we've had, which I found extremely encouraging and extremely beneficial from my point of view in terms of learning how to pray. I wanted us to just to recap on what we have learned very briefly, and then, as always, seek to put it into practice. And tonight, I think we're going to do something a bit different whenever we put it into practice, because what there's something that that I believe we need to do, which is to seek together, more of this later, but seek together the Lord's burden. And I want us then to take that up together and pray. And then going forward, that will be what we pray for until we sense it's time to pick up a new burden from him. But it must always be from him. So we keep praying while he puts the burden on us until he reveals to us by his spirit that burden is now to be laid down and something else to be taken up. So that's where I want us to go. I hope we can all go together. But as always, we are a group of different believers. We have different backgrounds. We have different understandings. We are different stages of our walk. So we want to go together. We're all learning, and we want to have grace for one another. So if any of us do make mistakes tonight, which I'm sure I'll be the chief of those, then please bear with me. So let me just do a quick recap on what we've learned. Just a couple of little points on supplications and intercessions. Then what we'll do is we'll just open it up for a few minutes just for anyone to add anything, to just maybe take a different emphasis than I have, whatever it is, just a bit of discussion. And then by quarter two at the latest, I want us to be into praying mode if possible. Okay, so supplications and intercessions. So, trying to consolidate some of the things we've learned. So, when we talked about supplications, the main point there about supplications was seeking the Lord until he reveals his mind on a particular matter. Because if we were to, when we talked about this, we talked about how essential this is, because it's the basis from which then we can pray. Because we must know the Lord's mind on a matter and his will. Otherwise, at best, our prayers will probably be a bit hit and miss, but at worst, we could actually find ourselves praying against the purposes of God. So very important for us to lean not on our own understanding and to get a sense. And it's, and this is the beauty of corporate intercession, because it's a sense together. You know, there should be a witness within us all that this is the Lord's mind on the matter. And that gives us some sort of safety that we will then be confident that we have discerned his mind. So that was the key point on supplications. And it was when we put that into practice, I certainly sensed that evening that the Lord spoke to us. He revealed his mind on how we should pray. And we prayed accordingly. So it's something that we need to keep it bearing in mind rather than rushing in to pray. You know, we can rush in with sentimentality sometimes. You know, we have a heart for people, and sometimes we want to pray for the best possible outcome in the sense of that they'll be relieved from suffering or whatever it may be. But God may have a different plan. We must seek him to know what his mind is on the matter so that we can pray accordingly. So that was supplications. And then in intercessions, we were talking about the idea of petitioning someone who has authority to accomplish matters. So petitioning someone who has authority to accomplish matters. And we talked about how it's much deeper, this form of prayer, than perhaps other forms. And we discussed last week how it actually requires an intercessor is someone who actually is a living sacrifice. It requires all of them. God will require everything, not just 10 minutes a day to pray, but everything. Possessions, time, resources, everything. And last week when we prayed, I'm looking back at what we prayed for. In particular, we were praying for the topic that Nigel raised about the housing these refugees. You know, very much it's about, I think where we got to that was we were praying for the church. Before he shared the full details, we were praying for the church to rise up and play their part in this, taking people in, opening their doors. And that's very much, you know, if you're going to be an intercessor, you're going to have to lay open that possibility that God wants to take everything from you in order for his kingdom to be built. So I thought that point came through for us last time. So that's all I wanted to say in terms of a recap. I do want to throw the floor open because I do appreciate there's a few people here who perhaps weren't here in the last couple of weeks, so perhaps they've got more to add. And I'd be very willing and grateful to receive that. So I'll just throw the door open. And also for those who were here, if there's anything else that's come to light as you've been thinking and praying about this, then please do feel free to share what's on your heart in terms of these two things. Floor is open. Sorry, Lynn, I'll just go to Malcolm first, then I'll come to you, please.
Yeah, the thought that's come to me, you know, I've missed the last couple of weeks, is that in the Word of God, for instance, I pray for my eldest son's salvation at least daily. And it says in the Word, I can't remember the exact words, but basically the Lord doesn't want anyone not to come to heaven. And I'm wondering if you count that as being the will of God.
Malcolm? Would anybody like to answer that? Respond?
Well, actually, yes, I had a conversation with someone the other day. Yes, it is the will of God that none should perish, but God won't force it on us, and we can pray and do anything, but God's not going to force people to believe. So you're playing within the will of God when you pray for your son, and not just your son. We should be remembering that we should be praying for our neighbours as well, and not being just praying for our own children, our own family. But because God, Jesus did say, go out into all the world and preach. So we should be praying for everybody else as well. But yes, it is God's will that your son will be saved. But he won't force salvation on him. He's given us free choice. That's all I could think of.
Then.
Sorry?
I just said thanks, Lynn.
All right.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to?
Okay. My
Paddy, would you like to go?
You're muted, Betty.
Okay, right. That's better, isn't it? Yes, it goes in line with what you were saying, Barry, about praying in line with God's will and not always praying for something good to happen in somebody's life, because sometimes the Lord allows these things to happen, in people's lives that'll bring them, they've got nowhere else to go sometimes, apart from turn to the Lord. And we have to really seek the Lord's wisdom, I think, when we're praying for people. If we, the natural thing, as you were saying, is to pray for hardships and everything else to be taken away. But sometimes, perhaps through this, may they turn to you through this that's happening to them. It's just that our perspective sometimes is off. We just see the end goal, but sometimes the journey to get to that end is far different. It's a lot more circuitous than we know.
Okay. Yeah, it strikes me, how often the Lord leads in a di direction different to what we would perhaps think was the best. I always just think of Moses and the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. It looked like humanly they were going round in circles, and yet God was testing them. And so that's just an example from the scriptures that often God leads in a direction that we just would never have, just we wouldn't even comprehend. When they turned back to the Reds towards the Red Sea, they were turning back, and most people would have just, most you can understand humanly point from the human point of view, you can understand why. The company of people he was leading were just like, Moses, what are you doing? We've just got our freedom and you're turning back. But he turned back, of course, because that's the direction that God led him. And then, of course, then there was the remarkable victory at the Red Sea. So, it's I'm so guilty of this, of just saying, well, I've got.
They also had
Sorry, go ahead, David.
they also didn't realize when Moses took them that direction that he was deliberately leading them away from potential areas of conflict that they weren't ready to face. Because if they had kept on the route they were on, they were going to pass Egyptian fortresses that would be along the borders of Egypt. If the Egyptians had seen a huge column of people, they would have sent troops out. They would have had to fight, and they just weren't ready for that. It would have discouraged them, and they would have turned back. So in leading them back, he was actually protecting them, though they didn't see that at the time,
Great point, Neil.
So I think this is a strong point that's coming out in all sorts of directions just now, that I think we're learning a kind of prayer that has more to do with getting inside the mind of God and actually collaborating with him. It's maybe worth remembering that the very first thing God ever did when he created a man was to give the man some work to do. And so Adam was actually collaborating with God, and that's always been God's will, that we work with him. And because of sin, we work against him in so many ways. So if prayer is a way of working with God, then that's completely opposite to the fall, and it's an exciting thing to explore, to be able to work with God rather than against them, as we so routinely do.
Amen. Amen. Just Lynn, I'm not sure if you may be changing tacks. Like, I'm not sure. I don't want to preempt you, but are you? Have you got another point, or do you?
Me, well, I
Yeah.
was going to pick up on Betty's point, and then I had a
Right.
point from before.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Well, from what Betty was saying, funny enough, I was listening to David Pawson. He's done a series on teaching people to pray, and I was listening to that just before I joined you. And in that, he said much. He referred actually to Moses, and he also pointed out that sometimes God, the desires of our heart and leanness in our soul. So it's not always good for us to have what we want. So that was just one point to sort of, like Betty was sort of saying. But the other thing was when you were speaking, you were saying we need to know what God would have us pray about and know how God would have us pray about the topic. It's not just sufficient to know what God would have us pray about. We know need to know what he would talk as a corporate group. It's no, I mean, it's different when we're by ourselves. We obviously pray about anything and everything, but as a group. Yeah, and I think it's a good idea to actually continue in prayer till we've prayed right through rather than just have half an hour praying on one topic each week because we're not getting anywhere.
Thank you, then. Lovely. Any other comments? Orin.
I would just like to
You're
say,
muted, Orin.
am I muted?
No, you're right now, Maureen.
Thank you. I'd just like to say I agree with David, where the Lord is showing us what he wants. He's leading us. Well, he led the Jews in the desert, the Israelites. He led them. And they had to be there because that was what he wanted. And that's what I believe. I believe until it was the right time. And equally with David, I agree that it's learning, that we're learning from the Lord. So I'm in agreement with him.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you.
Lovely. Okay. Well, perhaps we shall get practicing. So, how are we going to do this? What I want us to do is to seek the Lord. And collectively, I'd like, the aim is that collectively we sense what God wants us to pray for. I'm just wondering if there's anyone here who has a burden, an intense burden, or has something on their heart that they believe we need to pray for as a group together. This will be probably something more strategic than personal, but I'm just looking around to see if there's anyone who feels Betty.
Yeah, the thing that's on my heart at the moment, and I don't know, I just wait for people to okay, is the awful attack on our children. I mean, now the latest things with the schools and they can't go back. It just seems as though the enemy's really getting in to attack our young people, our children. I don't know whether anybody else feels the same thing.
Would anybody be in agreement?
Yes, I feel very strongly about that. We're getting bulletins literally several times a week just now about events in schools and the general way in which that ideology is being hammered right now in front of children. When you start taking primary school children and teaching them about masturbation and things like that, it's utterly unspeakable what's happening in our society. And I think I just read something today about a lady, and the only thing she had done was she saw a poster that said, keep men out of women-only spaces. Mm-hmm. She saw this poster and she snapped a picture of it with her mobile phone. And 2 or 3 days later, she got a visit from West Yorkshire Police. Now, I wonder how they knew that she had taken a picture of the poster. And secondly, I wonder to what extent now does the law still uphold the right of a person who's accused to face their accuser? Mm-hmm. You know, it would seem as though somebody spotted her and reported her to the police. But it seems as though the person who's offended now they're assumed to be in the ascendancy as far as justice. So, you know, we're in a place where our society, we've said a very firm societal no to the God of order and peace and truth. And so we've effectively spread a welcome mat in our society for disorder and deception. We've basically said to the father of lies that he's welcome to come into every walk of life because we've banished God from every walk of life.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do feel very strongly. I think Betty has picked up something there that's quite crucial because the enemy knows. I mean, for instance, why in recent times have we reduced the voting age to 16?
Mm.
I mean, how many 16-year-olds do you know who are interested in how our country should be run? They want to know when they're going to get their next Xbox upgrade, you know? Mm. And I think it's really tragic that young people are being exploited for the sake of voting and political expediency. And so the children really are being targeted. Ignatius of Loyola famously said, give me a child to the age of 7 and I'll give you the man. And he trained the Jesuits on that basis. So the enemy has always recognized the importance of grabbing the children's minds. Old duffers like me are not nearly so of much concern to the devil as our children are. And he seems to be being given a free ride by the government, by the judiciary, by the police, by the education system. Everybody just seems to be taking this stuff on board. It's being driven at university level. That's where the stuff is coming from. It's a really, really big issue, I think. Whether that's the burden of the Lord, I don't honestly know, but I would bow to the spiritual consensus of the group.
Thanks, David.
Sorry, the voting age in England and Northern Ireland is 18 still, although you've got it at 16 in Scotland.
Ah, right, okay. Well, you see, Scotland's progressive, you know. So.
Scotland and Nicola Sturgeon.
Malcolm.
So you mean Queen Nicola? digressing slightly from the lady who took a picture and had a visit from the police, I was hearing over the weekend, I think it was, about a Christian preacher who was arrested for preaching the gospel and other parts of the Bible. And within days, an Islamic preacher was in the same place preaching Islam, and the police just ignored it.
Yeah.
It's a case of one rule for some and a different rule for others.
You, Malcolm. Elizabeth?
Young people, I just think it's so important. I mean, where do you start in a way? You know, it's in a way, you know, they so many have been killed even before they get to outside the womb, you know. But I spoke to my sister. It does feed into this, my sister this evening, who's, she and her husband adopted two girls, and the eldest one is 15. She's called Sky, and she didn't take any GCSEs. She didn't go to school for this year, and it's been really, really hard for my sister, who had to virtually give up work to stay with her. And my sister was so distressed because this, she's trying to get her to take them at a college in Oxford, and this college have just messed her about so much, and she's just, you know, almost in tears, you know. It's just the whole education system. I don't know. I just the enemy seems to be at work. You know, so, and of course the pandemic didn't help, because a lot of the kids were at home, and, you know, didn't always get on with everything, did they? So, but anyway, I know it's just a personal thing, but it sort of feeds in, and my heart is for them anyway.
Okay.
And the courts at the moment, it seems, are giving custody back to children where the fathers have actually been convicted of abusing children, and yet they're being given custody, and the mothers, several of them, have committed suicide apparently.
Yeah,
because of this, it just seems a complete attack on our young people from every quarter.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't, I wasn't really talking about the adoption or anything. It was more than just the system.
Thank you, guys. I think we're probably have reached that consensus, I believe. So what I want us to do now is let's just not rush in, because there's much to pray for here, but I don't want us just to rush in and start praying scattergun. So let's just pause for a few moments, and let's just seek the Lord now. It'd be great if the Lord could me tell the Lord what to, it would be great if we have a scripture.
Barry,
yes, our prayers on. Yes, David.
Barry, I wonder if I could just at this point, just before we get into that, the thing that's on my heart, even as we're talking, is that if we start praying into this area, we're really going to be rattling Satan's cage, okay? And I think we must not forget the fact that out with these gatherings on a Monday night, we now need to be very faithful in praying for each other and praying that the Lord himself will be a firewall around us, because this group will be targeted if it's any danger to Satan's hold over children at all, or families. That's a favourite way he tries to do it. And the second thing I wanted to say was, just in the past week, I just had occasion to write out a prayer. It's like what I call a warfare prayer. It's all based on scripture. And it was for the sake of a family that are really going through it right now, to give them a starting point for their prayers. And I wondered if it might be beneficial if I just read that prayer for general agreement.
Yes.
It's a case of taking doctrine and sending it into battle, I suppose. Mm. Really, that's what it's about. So would that be appropriate? Could I do that?
Yes, please, David.
Okay, just give me a couple of seconds and I'll go and get it, because I don't have it to hand, but I know exactly where it is.
I think some of us have been praying about the children for quite a year, well, more than a year now. When we prayed on our Thursday mornings, we were praying about the children. And certainly in IFB, most of their prayer and Bible weeks of late, and the last one, the August one, they were praying very much for the children, because they had 25 children there So it was really good. And a lot of these things, Christian Concern and Christian Institute, are very strong on these things and give good prayer points for them.
David, when you're ready.
Right, okay. I've also got, I'm just copying a link to the prayer, so I'm actually going to send the link on a chat so that everybody can just download it, and you can print it off yourselves.
Great.
So just give me a sec. Oh, there we are. Got it. Okay. Right, here we go. Chat to everyone. Coming your way now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Right. I'll just read the prayer. This is how it goes. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the great miracle by which we sinners are able to call you Father. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to you. Because of you, we are in Christ Jesus. His victory is our victory. Even his inheritance is our inheritance. You raised us up in Christ and seated us with him and in him in the heavenly realms, so that we might share his invincible rule over wicked principalities and powers. And sharing his ascended rule, we fight our spiritual enemies from above, not from below. We praise you that Satan is a defeated foe. Because our Savior, our Lord Jesus, lived a sinless life, he was able to die as the spotless sacrifice for our sins, and death could not hold him prisoner. By his glorious resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of your ruling majesty, Jesus is invincible and Satan is not. Ultimately, he and his angels will be consigned to the lake of fire. Even in this life, in our union with Christ, we can enjoy complete victory over Satan. All glory be to Jesus, through whom we are more than conquerors. By your grace and the irreversible realities of our great salvation, we refuse to admit continuing defeat by Satan in any areas of our family or ministry life. We have been crucified with Christ, and we are now dead to the rule of Satan. The new reality is that your grace and your mercy rules in all areas of our lives through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to affirm your victory even when daily experiences seem to say otherwise. So we praise you, Lord, that you are our strong deliverer. In your sovereign wisdom, you may rescue us from the furnace, and you might even rescue us in the furnace, but you will rescue us. The shield of faith may protect us from Satan's fiery darts, or it may protect us when those darts strike us, but the shield will hold because our Savior has prayed for us that our faith may not fail. We thank you for the battles and all that you intend by our trials. We reject all of Satan's intentions, but we desire to profit by the good fight of the faith. We reject all of Satan's purpose, and we gladly embrace yours. So when our trials have accomplished your good and wise will, our knowledge of you will have grown. You will be our highest joy, and the memory of the pain will vanish as a mother's pain is forgotten at the sight of her newborn child. Through the precious name of the Lord Jesus, it shall be so. Amen.
Amen.
I tend to encourage folks to use that prayer every day. It's not a mantra. We don't trust in vain repetitions, but it's a way of disciplining our minds to be soaked in the truth and soaked in the things that give us certainty when we're praying. So it's a discipline, really, and I just commend it to you.
David. Let's just pause now. Take in some of those words. And then let us seek the Lord. Let's lead out into prayer. Let's be led out into prayer using the word of God. Let's trust him now to lead us to parts of his word that he wants us to pray into this situation, into this topic. And as I said, let's not rush. Let's just be led by him. So don't be afraid of silence. Not rush to fill it. That lets us be led out into prayer. Father, Father, I think it's only right that we begin this prayer confessing our own inadequacy, confessing that we have not been as forthright, Lord, in teaching children your word. Lord, that the church, Lord, has not been faithful in passing on the faith to the next generation. And Father, for that, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I am sorry for my failings in that. Lord, I am sorry that other things have distracted me. Lord, your word, Malachi, talks about Father, the spirit of Elijah, someone coming in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And Father, I confess that my heart as a father, Lord, has not always been for my children. Father, it's gone after other things. It's gone after the things of this world. Oh, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive us. Lord Jesus, your word is more powerful than any of the lies of the enemy. Lord, the contrast, the comparison, Lord, is laughable. Your word reigns forever. Your word is settled in the heavens. Nothing can change it. Nothing will change it. Your word is forever settled. So, Father, would you, Lord, fill us with a confidence in your word. Lord, far too often we are ashamed of your word. We apologize for your word. But Father, this is your word. And Father, may we, Lord, have full confidence in proclaiming your word to the next generation. Oh, Father, turn our hearts towards them. Lord, that we would speak truth into the darkness and not be ashamed of the truth of your word, Lord. Oh, may we stand in victory as we trust in the victory of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill us, Lord, fill us with your spirit, fill us with a boldness to speak out to the next generation with all confidence in your spirit and in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, you have exalted your name and your word above all things. And we thank you, Lord, that because you are supreme, your word is supreme. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would enable us to do exactly what you instructed Joshua to do, that he was not to let this book of yours depart from his mouth. Lord, help us to take your word upon our lips again and again, to discipline ourselves, to make sure that our faith grows by the hearing of your word. We need to hear your word, Lord, not just sit quietly and ruminate on it, but we need to hear it. And our children need to hear your word coming from our lips. And we need to encourage our children that your word would come from their lips. Because out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And the great irony of the Christian faith is that the weak are the strong. And we bless you for that, Lord. The little children are the example of how you can defeat the enemy. Satan was completely and utterly routed by a baby born in Bethlehem. And we bless and thank you for that, Lord. So we bless you in Jesus' name, that your word is supreme because you are supreme. And all flesh is like grass, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We bless you for that. Thank you, Lord. When all the platitudes of men and women, when all the empty speeches of politicians have gone the way of all the dross and all the garbage of this world, your word will remain. And so we pray, Lord, help us to take your word and send it into battle. And we affirm now in Jesus' name that you care for the children like no one does. You care for the young people, you care for their minds, and you oppose the proud and you give grace to the humble. So we know for a certainty, therefore, that those who are proudly asserting their ideology over the well-being of the children have actually got you for an opponent. You are the opponent of these people who are seeking to pervert the upcoming generations. And we thank you, Lord, for your opposition to that. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'll show us how to join with you and to pray in line with your mind for the children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because we have been delivered by hope, but hope is being seen, is not hope for those who hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly awake through perseverance. And likewise, also the Spirit helps together with us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray according to what is needed, but the Spirit himself intercedes in unutterable groanings. And the one who searches our hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes with God on behalf of the saints. And we know that for those who love God, he works for all good for those who are called according to his purpose, because whom he knew beforehand, he appointed ahead of time. Mm. Father, we thank you that we have this blessed hope in all these awful things that we see around us. That no matter how much it grieves us, Lord, it grieves you more. And Father, we don't know how to pray. We ask you to lead us in our prayers by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Because it's not what we can do, because we're not able to do anything. But we do have hope in you, Lord. And we just bring these dear children to you. And just ask that you give great protection to young minds, so that no matter what evil is being spouted, that it'll just bounce off them, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Father, although we know that there are tragic exceptions, we are confident that in some way or other, to some extent or other, most of the children of the land are loved by their parents or their relatives. And love always has your vote, Lord. We praise you for that. And these ideologies that are seeking to pervert the children are the exact opposite of love. They're about exploitation. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that since there is a wicked strategy to exploit young lives, that you, we ask you, Father, will you please show us if we should be praying in line with the light that's there in Genesis 11 about what you did at the Tower of Babel? Because you said of those people, they are one people, they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. And so because of the unity they enjoyed for wickedness, you went down and you confused their language, confounded their speech, made it impossible for them to communicate and fulfill their strategies. Lord, we ask that your mercy would bring about such confusion among the ranks of the enemy today. And Lord, if I'm praying amiss, if that is not your strategy for today, if for some reason or other you have a better plan, a better strategy, then reveal it to us. But right now, that's what's on my heart, Lord. I'm asking you to confuse the enemy and confound their speech and bring their strategy to nothing. Let their weapons recoil upon their own heads, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask in Jesus' name that you would send angelic protection for the children.
Yes.
And as I think it was Betty perhaps who prayed that what they're being taught would just bounce off them, that it wouldn't actually take root in their young heads. But Lord, the teaching is heavily image-based, and images are nearly impossible to forget. They've got school books right now that are showing people wearing fetish garments, and how are children supposed to forget these images, Lord? So we ask in Jesus' name that you will bring about miracles of protection for the children.
Yeah.
Things that could only be explained by your intervention. May it be so, Father, in Jesus' name. And may the glory be yours in an upcoming generation when children and infants are filled with praises to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. It seems so big. But on my heart is that parents, because they love their children, would start to rise up, would start to speak up, would start to protect them more, would start to take them aside and speak to them.
Yes.
And explain. They would rise up, Lord, because of the anger in them. Because they see the wickedness more and more, and they'd want to do something, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for boldness for parents, for your spirit to be upon them, Lord. And thank you, Father. Thank you for the love that you, for families and what you've ordained, and the love that you've put in the hearts of the parents for their children. And Lord, I also pray you put your spirit upon children and anoint them to say, I'm confused, help me, that they would come home from school and tell their parents things. Lord, I just pray for the communication between them. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen.
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 Yes, amen. Amen.
Yes, Father, you say that there's a time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in our land where the children are being fed such evil. Father, please open the eyes of the parents. Please let them see what's happening in this world, in our country, with their children.
Mm-hmm.
Please let them have the time to realize what's going on. And open the eyes and the hearts of the children to you, Lord. So that they hear, that they search, that they look. Don't know how, but you know, Lord. In a very bad way. Schools, our children, the way they're taught. Please help them, Father. Please help.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yes. Lord, is there something you want to do, but you won't do it until we pray that you'll do it? Are you waiting for us when we think we're waiting for you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you please reveal to us, Father, if there is some particular thing that you will not do until we raise prayer to you in agreement? Agreement with each other, and above all, agreement with you in the Spirit.
Lord.
Just reveal your mind to us, Lord. Reveal your strategy to us. Help us to pray for your will to be done on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, Lord, just as David was praying there, I was thinking about what is the root of this, and it's damaged children going up into damaged adults. Goes back generations, Lord, and I just pray that you begin a healing process in those that have been damaged, so that they sincerely hold these views. Lord, only you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we must play our part in when you give us an opportunity, but Lord, this is spiritual warfare. You are the one that can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
At the root. And I sense that the root goes way back, Lord. We know ultimately it goes right back to the Garden of Eden, but I mean with this particular issue, Lord, there's so many generations of children that have been damaged, who naturally will become damaged adults, and will teach what is absolutely wrong, because sometimes they don't know any different. They sincerely believe that it's right. So, Lord, shine your light in dark places, I pray. And bring all this out into the open so it can be healed by your Holy Spirit, Lord. I don't know how, Lord, but keep us faithful in prayer. Just keep us faithful in hearing your word and showing us what might be the cause. I don't know if I've got this right, Lord, but you will speak to others if I have.
Mm.
Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of Michael, who was fighting the battle in the heavenlies.
against the spirit of Iran or Persia. And Lord, I just pray for the battle that's going on in the heavenlies for our children.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, it's a terrible battle, and I believe it's fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for the angels who are fighting that evil spirit. I don't know really how to pray, Lord, but I just pray for our children, because there's going to be so many who will suffer mental health problems as a result of this ideology. And I just pray for protection on these children. And I pray for the battle in the heavenlies to be strong, and so that the angels can come down and protect our children. I don't know if this is right. Maybe I'm all wrong here. But I'm absolutely sure that there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. And I pray that the prayers of the saints will make a difference to the battle that's going on up there, so that our children can be protected by the angels, protect them from mental health problems, and protect them from all this terrible ideology. I pray, Lord, that these wee ones it'll just go right over their heads and have no impact on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for the families that they come from, that the parents will be vigilant and wise. Well, especially I pray for Christian families, because the devil loves chaos. And if a child is coming home with all this ideology to Christian parents, how are they going to deal with it? And I pray for wisdom for these parents to handle it in a way that gives glory to your holy name.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle.
Father, we thank you for the work that's being done right now to raise up a generation of young Christians in the Scripture Union camps and various other youth gatherings that have been happening throughout the summer. We thank you for the good things that are being done, for the work that's being selflessly undertaken by folks who are committed to the teaching of our children. We bless you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would prosper that work and what the children have learned over the summer. We pray that you would take it deep into their hearts and minds and cause it to bear fruit for you. Father, we just remember that you said to the Israelites that they were to remember what Amalek had done to them on the way as they came out of Egypt. That Amalek had attacked them on the way when they were faint, when they were weary, that he had actually cut off their tail and targeted those who were lagging behind. And Amalek didn't fear God. And so you said you would be at war with Amalek forever because he went after the vulnerable. He went after the elderly and the mothers with nursing children and those who just couldn't keep up easily with the rest of the column. And Amalek targeted these vulnerable ones. And that's exactly what we see happening in our day. So you said you would be at war with Amalek from one generation to another, and you would eventually blot out his name from under heaven. And we ask in our day, Lord, that we will see you doing that, because that spirit is still abroad. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, please rise up with holy anger against all that Amalek is doing in our generation, against those who are vulnerable. And fight for them, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I read recently, folks, that at the Nuremberg trials, when there was only 10 people who were actually hanged for war crimes at Nuremberg. And one of them was a man called Julius Streicher. And as he was being led away from the courtroom, having been condemned to death, he shouted back defiantly, Purimfest 1945, or something of that nature. I can't remember the exact phrase. But he was basically making a direct line between what Nazis had tried to do and what Amalek sought to do. That spirit is still alive and at work in our society these days, folks. And I think we need to, in line with that, so that was Deuteronomy 25 that I quoted from. I think it was 25, it's verse 17. I'll just check for you. Yes, 25 verse 17, where the Lord says, you shall remember what Amalek did to you. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be standing with God against Amalek. Remember, that's why Israel's first king was removed from the throne, because he didn't share God's opposition to Amalek.
Right.
Father, I just want to thank you for the prayers of your saints tonight. And just sitting here and listening to how people have been led to pray, it's inspiring, it's beautiful. It's such an act of your mercy to us, Lord, that we would have inspiration to pray directly from your throne room. We're just so grateful to you for that, Lord. Yes. So will you just please keep it flowing, mm-hmm. Lord? It's so easy for us to run out of steam. Mm-hmm. But we just pray that you would sustain us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Bless our brother Barry, Father, because he's struggling with a cold tonight, and we just pray you'd give him extra stamina. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I just want to pray, Lord, that I just feel that we're, this onslaught that is coming at us is almost more than I can bear, but how do you feel that it's like a huge thing that we never saw coming? And I think maybe too long we've been living under the sort of Christian aspect of our parents and grandparents over the years, and maybe have become too docile. I don't know, but this onslaught is a real, it's shaken me to the core, really. And I pray that you will lead our prayers and help us in this huge battle that we have today. Give us wisdom and give us the prayers that we need to pray to make a difference in the heavenlies, Lord.
Yes.
Please have mercy on us.
Oh, yes,
because yes. I want to repent, because I think sometimes we've just lived on the inheritance of our grandparents and parents and the Christianity that we were brought up in. And we didn't, at least I did, never ever saw such an onslaught coming against us and our children. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word, because a couple of times tonight it's come back to me about Daniel's prayer, Daniel 9, and how bleak things must have looked then. And yet you sustained him. And when he was praying, there was such a delay because Michael had been delayed because he was fighting a spiritual battle. And when Mary was praying about the spiritual battle going on. But Lord, we have it all in your word. We can see. If only we will keep our eyes on what you have done and what you are doing and what you are going to do, because it's all there for us, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I've reminded when Daniel was in despair, and then he read the words of Jeremiah, that you had told Jeremiah what was going to happen. And so thank you, Lord, you do speak to us. And you do show us things that we need to know. And you are the same now as you ever have ever been. So you will not leave us helpless. We feel helpless and hopeless sometimes, Lord. But we're not. We are not hopeless, because our hope is in you. Thank you, Lord, that you provide all that we need. Forgive us when we don't come to you, Lord, first. Forgive us when we just listen to what's being blurted out at us from our television screens and radio. And I thank you for what's been going on in the youth this summer. And it's only when we meet together as your people that we hear these stories. We don't hear them in the news or anything. How other youth workers and young people are turning to you. And particularly it seems so in Scotland, with the lady that I meet with on a Friday morning, who tells us wonderful things that are happening in Scotland. And all we hear on the news is the awful things that are happening there. So, Lord, thank you. Just help us to look in the right places, I pray, so that we don't feel helpless and hopeless, because we're not.
Yes.
We are not hopeless. We have hope in you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Encouragement, I pray. We need encouragement. So I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, I've been thinking about the way our children have been taught. And it's just come to me, Father, that my eldest son, who was 64 3 weeks ago, that he's advocated the homosexual, I can't remember, LQT or whatever it is, since his childhood. And he must have been taught these things at school. And Father, even is my second son's wedding. And Stephen was best man. The whole of his best man speech was advocating homosexuality. Well, Father, this problem is not something new that's happened in the last few years. This has been going on now for, well, going by my son, there is 50-something years. Father, please, if we speak out, we're shouted down. And Father, please, will you enlarge our voices when we speak out against what's being taught to our children today and for a long time? And Father, will you put your power behind the words that we speak? That Father, when we speak out, those in authority will take note, and that Father, you will, through those in authority in our government and elsewhere, you will silence these who advocate these terrible things that our children are being taught, homosexuality, transgenderism, and all the rest of it. Please, Father God, we plead with you that, Father, you will change men's hearts, that they will stop this teaching of these awful satanic things that are going on and have been for a long time. Please, Father, I ask you very simply, may your will be done in these matters. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
Lord, I pray for forgiveness for not seeking you, Lord, about your heart, not spending the time to find out what's on your heart. For myself, Lord, and for us all, Lord. Forgive us, I pray.
Oh.
Lord, I just thank you for those individuals that have been seeking you and praying faithfully. Yes. Probably no one knows about them, Lord. Lord, I pray for a change now in your people. I pray we'd rise up in faith. We'd come to the front line, Lord. Yes. We'd come with your word. We'd come with confidence in you.
Mm.
We'd come with your wisdom, hearing you, Lord.
Yeah.
Just pray that you'd raise up prayer warriors, Lord, across this nation. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Lord, we all fail you in so many ways. And we need constantly to hear the reassurance of your word that there is now, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's been removed from us altogether, Father. We're never going to have you look upon us with condemnation. That's never going to happen. Jesus says that we have crossed over from death to life, and we shall not come under judgment. We will not face judgment because our judgment happened on the cross, and our sin is atoned for, and it is finished. And we bless you and praise you for that wonderful reality, Lord, that sets us free to get our eyes off ourselves and just to fix our eyes above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Help us, Father. Help us to pray with a sense of altitude, that we fight from above and not from below.
Yes.
That it's the enemy who is defeated. The enemy is vulnerable. It's the enemy who is not invincible. We bless you that in Jesus we are invincible. We thank you for that.
Yes,
Father.
And so, Lord, we pray for wisdom, though, Lord, because the enemy is perfectly happy if we go shooting off our guns in the wrong direction or at the wrong time or for the wrong reasons. We need great wisdom from you, Lord. We need great sensitivity to know what we should be doing and when. We remember that not all sections of an army are intended to be visible. The special forces work behind the enemy lines, and invisibility is essential to their strategy. If they were visible, they could easily be picked off and they couldn't achieve their work by surprise. Father, I personally believe that a group like this works behind the enemy lines. And I don't think we're supposed to be drawing attention to ourselves. I don't think we're supposed to be among those who are necessarily speaking out at every turn or protesting or campaigning or signing petitions. I think, Father, maybe our work is supposed to be done in the secret place of the Most High. Now, that's not to say, Father, that you might not call us at any time to take a bold stand and to just entrust ourselves to your grace and mercy, and that we might not be arrested or we might not be attacked by evil people. But for the most part, Father, I believe that this group, in spiritual terms, equates to a special forces group, and it's our job to stay invisible and to work behind enemy lines and to fight from above, from that ascended union with Jesus that we have in his name. Help us in this, Lord. Give us wisdom and help us to be very, very wise in when we open our mouths and when we don't, and when we sign a petition and when we don't. Just help us not to assume, Lord, that all your strategies are won by the visible people. They're not always, Lord, that you have your invisible sections of the army. And we pray in Jesus' name that we might have the wisdom to be the most effective. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I pray for unity within us, within our groups. Because the enemy would disrupt us if he can. And
yes,
it rather looks as though Lynn may have fallen asleep. I don't know. I just want to say sorry, Lynn, if I've upset you in any way in things that I've said. It's on my heart to say that, and I want to say it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you haven't.
Well, thank you.
And I'm awake all the way through.
Yeah. But I have a strong sense that the Lord would, that we need unity within us, and that our strength is from the Lord. And the enemy will try all sorts of tricks to try and divide us and get us off on arguments and discussions, like theological discussions and goodness knows what else. And he just wants our submission and our willingness to serve him. Amen.
Lord, we do pray for the armour that best suits each one of us, Lord, that we would put it on, and the anointing that you've given each one of us, the calling you've given each one of us, that we would be true to that, true to your plan for us individually and together. Amen.
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 Amen. Yes, Lord.
Well, you said previously, it's very hard to draw these meetings to an end, but the prayers, I trust, will not be coming to an end. We will continue this theme next time, but I think what we will end up doing is having a little bit at the start just to try and re-emphasize and think about how we pray before we go into practicing. So that's what I'm seeing as we go forward, but that may change. We want to be led fully by the Lord.